You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I mean, come on, people. I'm driving down the street, right? I'm listening to a radio station. I want to change it. What's that for? Who's that going to impress? Ain't nobody in the car most times. Then he pulls up and puts the car in reverse, and it drives itself backwards. Who do I want that for? Oh, look here. You can see this. I can see it like this, too. And it won't be $3,500. You see, the point is, they always sell what you don't need because they expect you to do something that is extremely prevalent in the lives of Western people. It's called impulse buying. Amen. Amen. Maturity helps us corral our impulses and think things through. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. And so he says here, that one of my tasks is to help you get past the impulse of those explosive spiritual sessions that leave you empty in life. You've danced, you've pranced, you've done all the great spiritual things in church, but you can't keep your life together. You go home and you challenge your wife. You know, you tell her, you ain't a biblical wife, and you ain't this, and you ain't that. And, well, then you haven't heard a word I said out of 1 Corinthians 13. The husband is supposed to shelter her and lift her. She's not going to be where you want her to be in the first 20 years of your association. Most divorces happen in the first 7 years. Why? Because every 7 years you undergo physiological, emotional, and psychological changes. That means that within 7 years, he or she is not going to be what you thought they were when you first got married. But if you're smart like me, you don't marry them for what they are. You marry them for what you think they could be. And you're looking for basic things. You ain't looking for perfection. Listen to me very carefully. This is what the body's all about. See, some of you ladies, bless your heart, God love you, I love you too. But you make the mistake of getting upset because you caught your husband looking at pornography. You walked in and he was on the computer. And now you're all upset. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus is against you. I'm going to tell Pastor Lambert. Now, I ain't his father. What am I supposed to do? What in the world am I supposed to do? There's God standing over this man's shoulder, watching what he's watching, and you're going to bring him to me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do like Jesus. Let those of you without sin cast the first stone. But here's what's happened. It is your illusion that has been destroyed. Because you went around prancing that your man is a man of God, and he loves the Lord, and he loves you, and he would never do anything like that. And now you're all upset and been out of shape. I don't love him no more. I want to get out. And all this other. Why? Because of the lack of understanding the body of marriage. You married him for what he is, and he is not. And sometimes he is not thinking straight. But that's no cause to throw him out. I'll tell you what you can do if you catch him. First of all, if you catch him, then you ought to know he's doing it when you can't catch him. He ain't reading the Bible on that phone all the time. You going around talking about he stay in the scriptures. He ain't in the scriptures. Because if you caught him, what you catch is a revelation of what you haven't caught. Now, I know it's a shock to your ego, and it's a shock to your femininity. But don't go all spastic in the demon world. You caught him, Walk away. Get yourself a sandwich. Call a member of the body. Don't tell them what you want. Just say, hey, look, can we go get some coffee? Let them take you to a Starbucks or Panera Bread. And sit down and have your decaf. Make sure it's decaf because you're already charged up. Get some chamomile tea and sit down. They say, what's the matter? So, oh, I just ran into something I wasn't expecting. I don't understand what's going on, but I just need a member. I need a white blood cell right now to help me with this infection because I feel my old nature coming up, and I just want to cut that. You don't say that, but it's in your mind. And so they talk you through it. Then you go home. Now, he don't know you saw him. Right? He don't know. So you walk home, and he's sitting there, and he's, you know, acting all holy and safe, which he is, holy and safe, okay? And you walk in, and you say, hey, how was your day? Oh, well, you know, it's kind of rough. You know, so many different things happen, and, you know, I don't know. Oh, okay. Can I ask you a question? Yeah. What is it that you really desire? Well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at it like this. In your job, what is it that you really desire in your job? Well, I'd like to be the supervisor. I'd like to be the person in charge. You really would like that? Yeah. Well, what are you doing to reach that plateau? Well, I was thinking about taking some classes. Good idea. Good idea. You're going to do them online or you're going to go down to the school? Well, I'd like to just get the classes going. Great. I'm with you when you want to start doing that. What would you like in your church relationship? Well, you know, I was thinking about being a teacher. I really thought I could be a good teacher. Well, I think that's a good idea. You should go down and talk to the leadership, and maybe they can start you in some classes. I know they have Stephanie who will charm you into teaching. Stephanie will have you teaching Revelation if you've just been saved for 1 week. Just go find her and connect with her. She'll go over techniques and make sure you talk to Brother McCoy, and he'll make sure you know you're saved. And after you find all that out, then we can sit down. What else would you like? How about your family relationships? Do you get along with your siblings? Well, you know, it is a bit fractured. Well, what do you think could be done to help that? You know, I think if I called them and we went out every now and then, maybe I should invite them over for a cookout. I think that's great. Now, how about us? What is it that you want? What do you mean? Well, I'm just curious. I mean, you know, we both love the Lord, and I'm just wondering, what is it you want from me? Sure? Yeah, I really. Honest? Yeah. Now, always know that when someone says, can I be honest, you in trouble. I'd like for you to be a little more feminine. I'd like for you to be a little more sexually aggressive. I'd like for you not to treat me like I'm a knickknack. I'd like for you to appeal to my passion. Really? Is that why you feel the need to look at others on the computer? How did you know I was doing that? It doesn't matter how I know, but now I know the reason you're doing it is because you want more from me. Baby, why didn't you just ask me? I didn't know. I didn't know you wanted more attention and affection from me. I was trying to be a prissy, bougie Christian. But now I know you want a freak. So it's all right because the Bible says the bed is undefiled. And baby, tonight your bed gonna be undefiled. Now, you don't have to worry. He's not gonna backslide or leave the Lord because you have employed a different method. What were you doing? You were being the body protecting your man. Not judging him, not throwing him to the dogs, but encouraging him. That's what God says we're to do in the body. When somebody is overtaken, we should find out what's going on and help them grow. Notice, my job is to help you realize your destiny, your purpose. It is not my job to be the crutch in your spiritual emptiness. If I do my job correctly, I bring you to a place of development where you don't need me. Oh, glory. At some some point in your wedding, in your marriage evolution, man, you learn how to cook for yourself. You don't go into that, well, if she ain't here, I ain't going to eat. The devil is a lie. Shoot. The kid will bake a potato and roast the filet mignon and just as saved in the head of my house as it could be. And that's what Paul is saying, that my teaching should be so deliberate that I bring you to a place where you can get to God for yourself. That in the event I'm not here, you can reach God. But watch this. You might say, what if there is a weakness and I need strength? Look at the person next to you on either side. Oh, sookie, sookie now. You fell into my trap. When you find yourself in need, you ought to be able to reach out to the body. You ought to be able to reach out to that person who's been sitting next to you every Sunday for the last 32 years. You ought to be able to call them and say, pray with me, pray for me, encourage me. I need to know that what I'm doing is worthy of the walk of a Christian. I need somebody to bounce something off for. I'm a little down, I'm in despair, and I can't seem to get out on my own. I need my brothers and sisters. I need you to one another me. I need you to exhort me, to edify me, to lift me up. Listen, you can't do, when you look at verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, to help the saints realize their destiny and purpose. Watch now, because it makes perfect sense. When you look at the next part, it says, to do the work of ministry. The King James says, for the work of ministry. But it's easier translated if you say that you are being equipped to do the work of the ministry, which means you can't do it till you know who you are. I'm supposed to help you get to know who you are, so that you are not easily shaken. Hallelujah. So somebody can come in here with a prophetic ministry and tell you that, all right, everybody in here going to hell. You just cross your leg and say, not me. Because I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep all that I commit into his hands. Are you hearing me? If I do my job correctly, then I bring you to a place of stabilization, that nothing moves you, that no false doctrine, no dogma, no tradition of men will ever keep you down. Listen to this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I didn't preach myself happy. We got to stop now. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. In the book of Isaiah, God says something. I ain't going to go through all this finding it. Just go look for it when you get home, okay? It's in here somewhere. But understand, here's what God said to Isaiah. He said, go to my people and say these words. He said that you do what you think you should do by the rituals of men. In other words, in some translations, it says you've learned these things by rote, which means repetitiousness that brings about learning. He said, but your heart is far from me. What does that mean? Most of us think we're practicing Christians because we're doing what everybody told us to do, but we haven't heard from God. He said, you don't even know me. You are serving me with your mouth, and you're following traditions. Don't dress like this. Don't do this. Don't put that on. Don't be this way. And God is saying, I never said all that. There is an improper view of holiness that has permeated the church, and that's why so many of you, bless your hearts, you feel defeated just because you smoked a cigarette. I am not advocating it, but you ain't going to hell because you smoked a cigarette. You might mess up your body and your respiratory system, but you're not going to hell for doing it. This is the place you ought to get strength. You don't need to be going to AA. You need to be coming to BDIC. You don't need to stand up and say, hi, my name is Eric and I'm an alcoholic. No, you tell that to God. Confess your sins to God, but your faults one to another. that you may be healed in the therapeutic process. I say we should go to the other side. That where we are right now is no longer advantageous. We walk out of here, we have a moment of victory, and walk out of here and walk right back into bondage. Why? We have no commitment to a family and connection. We walk right out of this church without speaking to anybody. Today, I'm going to give you an assessment. There are certain numbers in the economy of God, and I'm a bit of a biblical numerologist, and there are certain numbers in the economy of God that are considered to be perfect numbers. 1, 3, 5, 7, 10, 12, 40, 144 are among them. These are numbers that God, for some significant reason, wants us to understand about him. Five is the number of grace. Now, I'm going to start with that one because it's rational and realistic. Today, after the benediction, which you should wait for, we don't understand the benediction. In fact, in Hebrew times, when the priest, everybody had to bow their heads because there was a sacredness to the benediction. He would put his hands in a certain way that formed the letter for Yahweh. And he would put his hands up in a certain way, and he would say, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." And that is how they could go home with that blessing. Watch this. You ever watch Star Trek? And I'm talking about the original one with Mr. Spock. Well, newsflash, Mr. Spock was Jewish. Leonard Nimoy was Jewish. He was doing an interview, and they asked him where he developed the hand-finger signal that he would use when he would say, when he would greet people with the fingers split. And they said, "Where did you get that from?" He said, "When I was a boy, everybody else's head was bowed, and he would look up at the priest, at the rabbi, using his hand to form the letter for Yahweh." He said he just took that and used it for the Vulcan greeting. The man was putting God's blessings over people in the show, because God does not turn away from his command. So we get up and we walk out of church before the benediction. What we're saying is, all that I've learned, there's nothing to seal it. The benediction seals it in an airtight jar. So that's why we are so susceptible to the devil. Listen, there ain't nothing worth running out for unless you are a first responder, a police officer, a firefighter, doctor, you know, somebody like that. Or you a lawyer on call and your client has just called you because they're in jail. There is no other reason for you to run out. "Well, I got to get a seat down at Golden Corral." Then you really need the blessing. And so when you get that blessing today, when all that I've taught you is sealed in your mind-spirit connection, I want you to shake hands and greet five people. We're going to start building community in this place so that you will learn who you can call for prayer. And I know there's no one in this church more private than me. No one. But God put a man in my life, Bishop Tony Harley, who is helping me work through my isolation. And every time that man is with me, I meet new people. He told me, I saw him yesterday, and he said to me, we were at Pastor Prichette's anniversary banquet, and he said to me, he said, "Oh," I was telling him what I wanted to do to get a part-time job down at the Youth Study Center, where as a forensic psychologist, I could get my internship and stuff so that I could take my test and then move into my PhD. And he says, "Oh, well, you need to meet so-and-so." I said, "Tony, I don't need to meet anybody." He said, "No, seriously, listen to what he says. Let me make the introduction." Now, I knew when he said that, I was done. I said, "All right, go ahead and make the introduction." Now, this man may help me get into that place. Now, if I stayed true to Eric, I'd be stumbling and fumbling over things when all I needed was somebody to make the introduction. See, the more you isolate, Satan knows he can keep you bound. Do you know the freedom of having somebody to connect with? God never made you to be alone. The devil wants you alone. Look at the person next to you. Just look. In Mark 4, I'm closing now. I'm done. But in Mark 4, verse 35, we're going to pick up here next week. It says, and the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let's pass over to the other side. It is my desire to take Bethel to another side, to bring you to a place where your walk with God will undergo a renaissance. Do you know that during the Renaissance age, there were significant scientific findings? It was during the Renaissance that Copernicus discovered that the earth was not the center of the universe. It was during the Renaissance age that Michelangelo learned the strength of the fulcrum and the triangular support system. And also, and most significant, is that during the Renaissance age, Martin Luther came to the startling realization that we are saved by justification through faith. In other words, great discoveries come when you're tired of the status quo. There is a place in God for you if you are willing to undergo change. And the change cannot happen until the mind has been renewed.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go Into My Blessing, or the program number 06519A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit betheldeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at betheldeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Join your Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches family as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ at BDIFC Holy Convocation 2019, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd and Sunday, August 25th. Each night we'll be blessed with a word from God brought forth by powerful ministers of the gospel. Special guest speakers for our Holy Convocation are Bishop David G. Evans of Bethany Baptist Church on Wednesday, August 21st, Bishop Paul S. Morton of Changing a Generation FGBC on Thursday, August 22nd, and Pastor Paul Shepherd of Destiny Christian Fellowship on Friday, August 23rd. Each service will be held at the Hilton Philadelphia City Ave at 7 p.m. nightly. The address is 4200 City Ave, Philadelphia, PA 19131. Sunday, August 25th will be our official night, in which the presiding bishop of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., will deliver an impactful message from the Lord. The service begins at 6 p.m. in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheldon Avenue, Winco, Pennsylvania, 19095. It's the BDIFC Holy Convocation, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd, and Sunday, August 25th. Come out and join your church family for these empowering nights of praise, healing, and fellowship.